So here Krishna is saying, Chaturvanyam Vyashishtam Guna Karma Vibhavasa. Everyone in their lives needs to be very clear what role they're going to play. I think I mentioned this somewhat last time, but it's a concept that we've worked on for many years in Hungary in terms of evaluating a system of devotee membership. Because just like here, Srila Prabhupada uses the word Vaishnava, but there are many types of Vaishnavas, and when we just throw all Vaishnavas in one camp called Vaishnava, it really causes a lot of confusion. Because different Vaishnavas have different consciousness, they're able to therefore do different types of work, therefore they have different rights and different responsibilities. So generally we see what is the first phase of Vaishnava when they come. We call them brahmacharis, brahmacharinis. Fully surrendered devotees, they come, whatever they're told, they do. They have no other obligation, they have no other obligation ashram-wise to anyone else. The brahmachari means that he's alone, he's a sole person, doesn't have wife, doesn't have children. And he really learns this very, very guru hitan, what it means to live for someone else, live on behalf of someone else. And then at a certain point, as we mentioned, Srila Prabhupada says, then a devotee should decide, do I continue this type of life, guru hitan, where I'm living for my guru for the rest of my life, or do I maintain a, not independent, because there's no such thing as independent for Vaishnava, but some kind of semi-independent position where at least I'm looking after myself, I'm arranging for my own living, my own accommodation, I take responsibility for my family, and I'm not the responsibility of the society anymore, but rather I'm responsible to the society in terms of my contribution. One has to decide. And it's a very serious decision. So then the devotee goes one of two directions. Either the, can you sit straight? It's not nice sitting like that. It's like puja. When we hear Bhagavatam, just sit nicely. So, formally. So then at that point the devotee decides, either guru hitan, either for the rest of my life I continue to live like a brahmachari, even as a grihastha. So called the Grihastha Brahmachari. He's dependent. Yes, I'm willing to tailor the requirements of my family to the abilities of the society to provide. So Srila Prabhupada, he reads Srila Prabhupada's letters, he says that, you know, some allowance can be given for grihasthas, and a little extra for children. It's Prabhupada called an allowance. And then, and Srila Prabhupada says, and if that's not sufficient, then one should be independent and give 50%. So then there's the other choice, is that then one then becomes a, let's call him a congregation member, a supporter, is the translation of the Hungarian word, we use this word tamogato, someone who's actually supporting the church. He then becomes fine, then you can't live just on an allowance. You don't want to raise your family on the basis of what ISKCON can or cannot provide. Alright, that's understandable. It's not nothing to argue about. It's just people's nature. And then so one should then be self-reliant, he should maintain himself, and then one becomes a supporter of the society. In the Guru Hitan, if someone remains a full-time devotee, then that means he's full-time. He's just like he was before. The difference is that he's not now just being maintained as a brahmachari, but his family is also being maintained. And obviously, maintaining a family is different than maintaining a brahmachari, but it's still simple. It's still very basic. And it's where the integrity and the consciousness of, well, we use this word monk. The devotees know when you go out there and you do sankirtan and you ask people to give donations. You ask people to give donations because you're a monk. And this word monk has a very clear connotations in people's minds. It means someone who's got nothing or next to nothing, someone who is a real austere person, someone whose life is dedicated to serving Krishna. A monk isn't someone who lives in opulence. A monk isn't someone who is conditional. A monk is unconditional. A monk is someone who, yeah, today I've got, tomorrow I don't have, like Sudama Vipra. If you didn't have, you didn't eat. That was alright, we didn't have clothes, we didn't have any clothes. But he didn't get a job. At least he didn't get a job. Why? Because that was his, he was a strict Brahmin. So for Brahmin, he wouldn't work. He'd rather starve and be without clothes than do that. So, that's what it means to be a full-time devotee. And, you know, whether you're working 7 hours a day, or 24 hours a day, or 38 hours a day, it all depends on, that's what I've chosen. And it's a conscious decision that someone has to make. And then on the other side is, okay, then I maintain myself. I bet you're not going to maintain yourself with 6 hours a day work. Then you're going to be working 18, 12 hours a day. To maintain oneself with integrity. Not that I'm cheating the government and collecting all kinds of benefits and getting money, but the people out there who really work, and now it's only like, you know, the 4 or 5 people instead of previously with the 12 people who really work, they don't live by 4 or 5 hours a day. You start to death if you just work 4 or 5 hours. You have to work 8 hours, 10 hours, 12 hours to maintain a serious family, and then that's integrity. Sudama Vipra would starve rather than work. In other words, there it wasn't the issue of working, it was to do something which was actually irreligious. And for a Brahmin, for that type of Brahmin, for him to actually get employment, either, you know, his business was begging. And if he doesn't receive anything by begging, then that's fine. So similarly, false dependency on others. They're stated right in the very beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam. To be falsely dependent decreases the duration of one's life, it ruins one's health, it makes the boundaries between religion and irreligion very murky. And unfortunately in this country, everyone's really brainwashed to this whole type of thing. Yeah. You get all kinds of housing supplement and this type of supplement and that type of thing and collect all of these things. But the cost, the price is very high. You become irreligious. When can you do that? If you're really actually doing full-time missionary work, then yes. Then the kings would maintain the Brahmins, they would maintain the priests, they would maintain the pujaris. So then it's fine. If you're a monk and you're giving full time, do that. But if you're saying, no, I want to maintain myself, then maintain yourself. Then don't go begging from anyone. Don't go begging from the government. Then work. And when someone does that, he becomes empowered. He becomes empowered by the principle of Dharma. So the saying is that if you protect Dharma, Dharma protects you. And in these ways, because we're not transcendentalists, we can't just do anything. A transcendentalist can do anything, and therefore these type of transgressions don't affect him. But someone who's not a transcendentalist, they do. They affect, which means that they cloud the consciousness and they make the practice of Krishna consciousness more difficult. So, Therefore, we have these divisions. So we have the volunteer devotee, brahmachari, brahmacharya. We have the full-time devotee. Then we have the self-employed devotee who's supporting the society. And then you have even those who are a little further removed, those who aren't giving 10%, 50%. And what's the duty of actually these supporting devotees, congregation devotee? There's actually two types of congregation devotee. There's one type of congregation devotee who, I would say, those are who are, you call them helpers. It means that they give irregular service according to their own individual desire. By service means they give some non-fixed amount of money, they do service sometimes, and like at the manor, they have people who just, there's a huge amount of people who show up for Janmashtami, like 800 volunteers, and then you don't even see them for the rest of the year. So it's really irregular service, it's conditional, so that person's a helper. Initiated devotee means you have to give regular service. You have to give a regular amount of money. That's your dharma. That's your, you wanted to get initiated, that you wanted the right of worshipping the deity, being recognized as a member of the society. You must take responsibility to support the society. It has to be a fixed amount. It should be, as I've been repeating now, 50% of one's income. Or if you can't work it out financially, then work it out in terms of time. Then I give 50% of my time. And it's not when I want it, how I want it, but it's fixed, it's regular. It has to be on a regular basis, it's conscientious, it's dharmic. And that's the obligation. That's the obligation of initiation of Vaishnava, that someone is actually taking responsibility for Krishna consciousness movement. And then there's the really distant people who are the people that you meet on the street. They're not devotees, they're not practitioners, but after 20 years you're meeting a lot of the same people, you develop some type of relationship out there. And, you know, whenever you bump into them, they say, here's a fiver, I really like what you're doing. So they're like sympathizers. They sympathize with the Krishna consciousness movement. They don't really identify very closely. They don't make any type of commitment, either regular or irregular. That was Srila Prabhupada's idea, for instance, of life member. Someone who makes some type of commitment. But they like Hare Krishnas, and they do some type of support. So they're also devotees of some sort, because they're doing some type of service. But it's not that they're coming knocking on our door. You know, I'm here to do the afternoon deity service. It's, you know, if you happen to bump into them on the street, then they respond. Otherwise, you never see them or never hear of them. And all of these are Vaishnavas. All of these Vaishnavas have a different guna. They have a different nature. And because of their nature, they do a different type of karma. And let's mention one last point about karma. They have a different type of karma. And on the basis of that type of work which they do, then they have a different type of obligation, and they have a different rights or connection with the society. Last year I was speaking with one of our temple presidents, maybe I mentioned this last time, I think so, in Hungary. And because this is a particular town where we're very popular with the youth, and but with all levels of youth, and there's a certain section of the youth. You know, some of them are university students, go on for jobs, or some of them become full-time devotees. And it's a small town; it's like 70,000 people, so it's nothing. But I don't know, probably made 100 devotees full-time devotee is just in a little town. Everyone knows us. But then there's the other, you know, other end of the spectrum of those who are regularly on drugs, who don't work, who live, you know, they go off to Italy in the summer and they beg, and then they live by begging. So, you know, we had different incidents that, you know, even the police came in and said, listen, we know that, you know, you don't supply these people, but these people are standing outside your temple and trading drugs and so on, you're going to have to do something about it. Anyways, the Father told them, listen, we tell these people, Hare Krishnas don't support drug addicts. You want to take drugs, go join the Moonies, go join some other organization. We don't want to know you. We don't want people who live that type of lifestyle. You want to live by begging? Don't be a Hare Krishna. We don't want Hare Krishnas to be beggars. The only people who beg are the monks. And if you want to beg by living, we don't respect that type of work. We don't want you associated with our institution. A few people got offended, but a few people also took it seriously. But is that what we want? Is that what, for instance, anyway, when you're on Sankirtan, you all bump into Mormons, right? And you can see them a mile away. They're clean cut, nicely dressed, polite, honest. They work. All of them do 2 years of missionary work, and then they're working. And they own 1/50th of the United States of America. This whole state of Utah belongs to the Mormons, including the city, university, jobs, everything. It spreads. Forget about their philosophy and whatever the religious value is, but they're very successful. So, and people respect that. So is this what Krishna consciousness is? Is Krishna consciousness is identified with bums? Because that's what a beggar is. He's a bum. He's a professional beggar. So, no, that's not what Krishna consciousness is. That's not what it's about. If it's your dharma to beg, that's fine. That's fine if you're a Brahmin. But you can't beg. It's irreligious. A Kshatriya can't beg. A Vaishya can't beg. A Shudra can't beg. It has no right. It's not his work. So that's called Varnashram. And ultimately, these lines need to become clearer and clearer and better defined in order that this movement is actually an international society. An international society for, and a society means that we have a social structure. And our social structure is not a social structure of paramahansas, people who don't have to do anything and they don't incur any sin. It's a social structure of conditioned souls. And because we're conditioned souls, we need a very clearly defined structure of who does what and rights and responsibilities, which is what the constitution of a country is. A country has a social structure, it has a social fiber. So it's extremely important, and it was what Srila Prabhupada mentioned as being the latter part of his mission. Not the latter part, but the subsequent part of his mission. First is, what is the law book? What is the constitution? Here's the law book and constitution. And then after that, how do you put it into application in a society? When a conditioned soul tries to behave like a liberated soul, he's a sinful person. Even if he's a Vaishnava. Because what will happen? So in so many places in Prabhupada books, you say, to imitate a paramahansa, you fall down. Anyway, I don't have to say anymore, we've got an example of it. Ask the son. So we know that that happens. It's not, we can't imitate, but rather we have to know, what is my guna? What is my karma? How do I fit in? And it's not a stigma, it's not an issue of good or bad, it's an issue of this is reality, this is who we are, and whoever we are, we need to chant Hare Krishna, practice Krishna consciousness, and be engaged in such a way that we're constructively contributing to a social structure. Because very often we talk about a community, but I mean, our communities aren't, you know, we don't even match up to ants, because ants have very strictly defined roles, and they really function very, very well. We don't have a communal rules. It's like community means we're going to chant Hare Krishna and everything's going to be taken care of. No. Community means here, Krishna says, according to the three modes of material nature and the work associated with them. The four divisions of human society are created by me. Krishna says, I created this. So Krishna is creating a social system, and our business is to function within this social system, and at least know where our roles are, and then act according to that. And then life becomes very, very clear. Particularly in this regard, in regards to, and it's not just philosophy, because our business is not just reading Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. Our business is living Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. That's a lot more difficult. So, everyone knows the shloka. Very few people are living it. So it's easy to quote it, but do we actually live by it? And, you know, Krishna made it very clear to Arjuna that he wasn't interested in Arjuna becoming a monk. He wasn't interested in Arjuna going off and begging. It wasn't his business. His business was to fight. And he made no pains to explain that to Arjuna, that for him, someone else is fine, but for him that was not the thing to do. But he had to learn how to fight for Krishna by being detached. And anyway, you know the philosophy. We know the philosophy. It's just, what do we do with the philosophy to actually make our lives work? And whether if we're liberated souls, we still need to function in this world as conditioned souls do. And if we're conditioned souls, then we have no choice. So then, knowing the practical application of these things and meditating on this is a extremely important aspect of Krishna consciousness movement. Prabhupada wanted it. He left it for us to realize. Anyway, I'll stop talking here because maybe there's some questions that you have, and we could just talk about those. The whole
thing. There's one lecture. Where you were talking a lot there about what it is to be a member of ISKCON, and you were saying we didn't really know in the beginning what we were getting ourselves into, but now we're trying to more clearly define it. So is there some idea in the future to have like a contract or some drivers that sign and say I'm doing this, and like that, so that they're kind of, they know what the commitment is, it's very clear, clearly defined, so that later on they can't say, well, I didn't really realize this, and I'm going to back down from this type of vow and this type of commitment.
You know, it's like a constitution only gives the real spirit. Well, we have a Magna Carta, or at least England has a Magna Carta. In America, they have the American Constitution, but they're very short things. Constitutions, just a couple of pages, just gives sort of the spirit or the essence, raison d'etre of a country, and then beyond that come laws, and the laws fill libraries when they're all based upon that constitution. So we've got our constitution, we have Srila Prabhupada 7, you know, defining the 7 roles or the 7 points of ISKCON. We have in his instructions also these sort of constitutional statements, and they're also statements of law, but they require formulation. And as that sort of becomes clearer, then devotees know, yes, this is what you can do, this is what we expect. Contract you do as an employer. Things should be clear, particularly in Kali Yuga, things need to be written. It's not enough anymore just to speak things. You got to write things. Contractors, but this should be clear, yeah. Then I have to translate. You're in England. No, excuse me, you're in Scotland. You should speak Scottish. No, you should speak English. You have to speak English. No, but anyway, I have to translate it. Anyway, the question is sort of brief and simple. It's just what 50% means, whether it's 50% of net or 50% of gross income. It's not even just a question of net or gross, because if someone's being paid, that's one thing. If someone's actually self-employed and working and investing in a business, then it's another. There are different interpretations. Ultimately, the issue is, do we have faith in Krishna? Yogakshema Bahamiham. Whichever formula you take, you can take the stricter one and have faith. Well, whatever comes, 50%, whatever comes, then I'll just give that. For instance, if I receive £1,000 a month salary, I'll live with 500, and 500 I give. When you're doing business, it's a little more difficult, because to actually develop business, you have to sort of reinvest. Anyway, you know, it's not, the issue isn't whether people give 50% of net or 50% of gross. The issue is whether people are giving 5% of net or 5% of gross. It's such a non-starter, the entire question, because it's very rare that anyone's giving 50% of net.
Somebody
who's been performing
service, say 25,
30 years in the Sanitan, maybe, and they walk in front of a bus on Monday in Sanitan, they get seriously injured.
They get what?
Seriously injured,
and they're unable to do the
service.
Is it the responsibility of this council to look after them?
Or not? Yes. Right, it's rights and obligations. The society also has obligations. So, at least my understanding, if you're coming here for 5 years as a training, and after 5 years we say no more, then it's questionable. Then it may not be. You're here as a student. If you go to school and, you get crippled on the way to school, it isn't the school's business to maintain you. You're there for learning for a certain period of time. But if we're actually going to take full service, full contribution from someone for 25 years of their life, then yeah, the society also has to take responsibility. Yeah, but otherwise, there's no give and take. And that's the real scary thing on Islam's part as well. But that's what Krishna says. Jejitamam prapadyante tamstataiva vajamiham. So I've been emphasizing the role of the individual. There's another side to this, which is the role of the society. So actually, Prabhupada said, ISKCON is Krishna. So when we're surrendering to ISKCON, we're surrendering to Krishna. But Krishna also says, okay, you surrender to me, and I'll give you all protection. That means that the society has also got to be willing to give all protection to someone who becomes fully dependent like that. That's a really big, big thing, because even the British government can't do that. should just practice from the practical point of view. In other words, they can't, you know, all right, you've got free health aid, but, you know, free health means you go to the hospital and you die because you went into the hospital. That's what it means. Either because of the germs that are rampant in the hospital or because the health services are so overloaded that people can't, you don't get proper care. So it's not this welfare system is not an easy thing. Anyway, the good thing is that, you know, Krishna's also in the picture as well. And he helps both the devotees and he helps the institution. So that's, ideally, that's the picture. Well, that's, so when we say, okay, we take responsibility for a devotee for their lives, that means we are responsible. It's a big thing to say. Maybe we should just sort of stop there for now, and if anyone has any further questions, you can sort of meditate on that, continue tomorrow. And